The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Part of our celebration this evening, we thought it would be really, really good to have one of our church family share their story. It's always good to hear people tell their stories, isn't it? About what God has done. So we, in celebrating resurrection, the fact that he is alive, that he is risen, and that is to impact our lives. And it's just always so good to hear about how God is doing that in someone's life. I have known Dave Bain for a lot of years. I've lost count. I've walked through a lot of stuff with Dave, some deep valleys, some struggles, some pains. But in the past year or so, we have watched Dave do some amazing growing and changing because of Jesus Christ. And so we're excited that he said he would do it. But Dave, we're so glad you're here and sharing your story and what God is doing. And just welcome Dave, would you, as he comes.
So a lot of you guys already know me for a lot of years. And so there's a lot to tell. First, I'd like to thank Dave for inviting me up to do this. I'm going to read my notes at times because I'm nervous. I would like to welcome you to the service and to my own story of redemption and freedom. I want to also thank God and my wife. My wife stuck through me. With me through this. A few weeks ago, Dave asked me if I'd be willing to tell the story. And even then, I had to take a deep breath. And I said I would. So, Father, I just ask you to come right now and help me to get this word out. This is your story, Lord. You have done this revival in me and set me on firm ground. And I just ask you right now to come and heal us and stand me up so I can get this message out in your strength. And may you receive all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my story begins with the redemption Jesus Christ offers to all of us who will receive it from what he did on the cross for us. John 3:16 tells us that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." I have many sins in my life, but two of them fueled many more sins in my life. They started in my teenage years. The two particular sins are losers, as I like to call them today, because they are. They lost their grip on me. They're like those friends you had when growing up. They always seem to bring a certain level of destructive behavior in your life that separates us from God. In 1994, I recommitted my life to the Lord. I was in search of truth and understanding. This coming out of my first divorce, I continued dragging these two losers around like a security blanket. Through two more divorces and other ruined relationships, bad choices, and broken promises. In the fall of 2017, I told Pastor Dave that I was struggling. I finally admitted it. He later came to me with a recovery program that he found out about. It would be a self-study that I would do, and I would counsel with him and stay accountable to God and Dave. On December 24th, anybody know what that day is? I decided during prayer time with my wife to let her know what was happening. The only bad part of this opening statement of the book expressly said, do not tell your wife until you've had 6 months of sobriety. Needless to say, it was ugly at Bain Manor. Tracy and I could have a conversation and agree on what we were talking about and end up in a fight. On Memorial Day that year, she moved out. After 7 years, the marriage was broken. She filed for divorce, and it broke me. Definite low point in my life. However, I don't go down easy. So I held true to my commitment to Dave and doing this study and continued the accountability with him all the time. The church fought for me and my wife in prayer. Dave's counseling in Maryland, they both counseled us. In the study I was doing, it was like a film being peeled away off my eyes, a layer at a time, as God conquered the first addiction. That first guy I was dragging around, he cut the ropes off, and that loser fell to the ground. I had used this addiction to deal with intermittent stress and anxiety in my life. It was a comfort to me, a pitiful one, but a comfort. Not realizing the grip it had on me, and the guilt and shame, low self-esteem that it gave me. It affected my home life and my work life. I have since received healing and new ways to deal with my stress. The second of these two losers is something that a lot of people do. Some have addictions, some don't. It's open in our society, and it's viewed as being okay and acceptable. Because I don't believe I have a problem with this actual addiction to this thing. I chose not to stop in my life. I denied the Lord. Even though he wanted me to stop, I would not get in. I kept dragging this thing around. By doing this, I put my own will in front of God and in front of myself, in front of my wife. For many years, I was being that self-centered person. After my sight had begun to clear, I saw the work of the Lord in my life and the freedom he gave me from that first loser. After that, I wanted to submit it all to everything. There was nothing I didn't want God in control of in my life, and that's the way I am today. Amen. Through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I had now been freed from the second loser. I had drug him around for so many years just to fit in or relax. Let us be clear on this point. I was the one that said no to God. I now live in freedom I have never had in my life before. It has opened up a giving heart to serve the Lord even more than I did. I want to help others. If not with me, someone here. If you're in need of help, you're not alone in the church. There are people here that will help you. This freedom has opened that up in my heart. I want to bring this to other people. It is fantastic. And remembering my own sins reminds me not to judge others, but hold them up in prayer. We need to know if you have sin in your life so that we can pray for you, not to judge you. That's the only way you can break these things. So please stand with me again. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share my story and my word with your word with these people. It's my prayer that we will reach out and feel the love, grace, and mercy Jesus is offering in John 3:16. I pray that you watch over all these people, that their hearts were open to receive and their ears were open to hear this word, and that you would apply it to their lives and put the Holy Spirit in their ear. And if they hear him talking, they should know they can come to us. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
That is evidence of resurrection power. Amen. Yeah. I want to just take a few moments to just kind of pick it up from where Dave left off. Oh, and by the way, Tracy came back. Did you guys figure that part out? He didn't kind of talk about it, but the divorce never happened. God's healing happened instead. Hallelujah. And so just real quickly, I want to take a few minutes and talk about, as a following what David shared, with regards to resurrection power, sin, our troubles, our mistakes, our failures, our stupidity, whatever it is you want to throw in there is not the last word on anything. Amen? And you know why it's not the last word? It's because Jesus, becoming out of the grave in resurrection power, has the last and final word. Have you ever been in a discussion with someone who just had to get in the last word? Of course you have. We all have. And maybe you've even been that person. It's like the story I heard about the guy who was talking to a friend, and he was having trouble with his cable company, and the service wasn't working, and they tried, they couldn't get it right, and they weren't going to try anymore, and there was going to be no adjustment on his bill. And so the friend that he's talking to says, well, I guess they got the last word, huh? And he says, no, I did. I told them I was leaving the cable service and going with satellite. Oh, I guess you got the last word. He says, well, actually, no, they did. Turns out they own the satellite company, too. We like to get the last word because we think that it means that we've won the battle, not to mention the war. But it usually means nothing of the sort. Have you found that to be true? Doesn't mean that at all. And believe it or not, this segues into the significance of the resurrection. We live in a world that thinks it has gotten the last word. But I'm here to tell us today, to remind us that that is not true, for a very good reason. Today is the day. Tomorrow will also be the day that we celebrate. Amen? Celebrate the fact that 2,000 years ago, our leader, our Lord and Savior, did something that has never, ever been done before or since. After dying a violent death on the cross and laid into a cold, dark grave, all of his enemies believed at that moment that it was over and they had finally gotten the last word. But nothing could have been further from the truth. Aren't you glad for that? That's because on the third day, what happened on the third day? Yeah. The stone securing the tomb was rolled away, and Jesus of Nazareth emerged alive and victorious. Amen. That's why we're here today. It's not to honor the dead man or merely remember a good teacher. It is to worship the living Son of God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Resurrection morning is proof, friends, that all those things that we thought that we were afraid might have the last word in our lives don't have the last word after all. And it's all because of the resurrection. Why? Because, first of all, the resurrection proved that Jesus is who he said he was, doesn't it? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and he claimed to be the only way to the Father. And he proved it by overcoming death. Nobody else in all of history has done that. We know that, don't we? The resurrection also means that there is nothing in this world whose power is greater than the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not even death could hold him. And when you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it changes everything about how you perceive the world around you, how you perceive the meaning of your existence, and how you perceive your day-to-day life. Changes everything. The resurrection does that because it changes who really does get and have the last word. So turn in your Bibles, if you want to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians 15. In that chapter, Paul has been reminding the people about the validity of the resurrection. Apparently, some had begun to doubt and fall away from that. So he's setting the record straight, making his case, defending the truth of the empty tomb. And now notice what he says in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15, okay? It says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Another translation might use the word most miserable. Here's what we know, and here's something that we can take to the bank with regards to what does not have the last word in our lives. Trouble. Whatever that trouble might be, whatever that trouble may come to your life, whatever the circumstance, the adversity, the pain, trouble does not have the last word. Paul reminds us of that. Paul is not saying that there is nothing good in this life, that we have no reason for joy or happiness or fulfillment in this life. He's not saying that we don't experience answers to prayer and see miracles take place or receive blessings in our life. That's not what he's saying. Paul is saying that living the Christian life involves an investment. It involves choices, an investment now that doesn't fully pay off until eternity. For this reason, we make a number of what might seem to the world counterintuitive choices every day of our lives because we live with an eternal perspective now. No longer a worldly one. No longer this is all there is to life. An eternal perspective which changes everything. We forgive when we could seek revenge. We give to those in need when we could spend the money on ourselves. We sacrifice for the good of others when we could look instead out for number one, take care of ourselves. We take a stand for what is right when we could just stay quiet and blend in with the crowd and look like everybody else. We do these things because we're making an investment in eternity. If there is no eternity, then why make decisions that can only make life more difficult? When we go through struggles, hardships, turmoil, pain, we need to remind ourselves that our troubles don't get the last word. Jesus does. Even when life is at its worst, we can face each day knowing that this world is not all that there is. And this world doesn't have the final say on anything. Are you thankful for that? I am so thankful for that. Jesus got the last word on resurrection morning. Hallelujah. Whatever trouble you may be facing right now, you can be sure that it does not get the last word when you belong to Jesus. Here's something else that does not have the last word. We find it in verses 20 through 23. Sin doesn't get the last word either. as much as it beats us up and as much as it wants to keep us down and frustrated and overwhelmed and full of guilt and shame, it doesn't get the last word. Look at the verses with me. It says, but Christ has indeed been raised. Aren't you thankful for that? Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, talking about those who have died and living in the cemetery, or not living, I guess, but, you know, there, hanging out in the cemetery. For since death, he's using that word, is really talking about since sin came through a man, referring to Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, referring to who? Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ reversed the curse brought on by Adam to the human race through his sin, through his disobedience in the garden. This is the human dilemma, is it not? Our sin nature. It is the human dilemma that we cannot escape as long as we are in these bodies and on this planet. Oh, there is help and there is redemption, but that old sin nature is still there, isn't it? Always wanting to have its way. We have all sinned and we have all been broken by our sin. And every life bears the marks of the brokenness. Every life does. Most people don't try to deny that they've sinned. You know why they don't try to deny it? Because they can't deny it. The evidence is all around them. The consequences of their lives. The bad choices. And they have no choice but to stand in agreement with the old prophet Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us. But I want you to hear how Isaiah finishes out the verse in Isaiah 53:6. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each and every one of us gone his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Jesus took all of our sin. As Jesus was dying on the cross, he said several things, didn't he? But one of those was what? It is finished. Another way that could be translated is it is paid in full. Your debt, that which you owed, paid in full. We live in a broken world because we are all broken people, broken because of our sin. For some, there's a trail of damaged relationships, pain and failures. For others, a string of broken promises. And maybe for some, sin has long wreaked havoc in your life. But I want you to know that resurrection means, because the grave is empty, means that sin doesn't get the last word in your life. Jesus does. God can and will forgive you of your sins. Just humble yourself, ask, pray, repent, and see what he will do in your life and in your heart. Another last word that turns out really isn't a last word is the enemy does not get the last word in your life. Look at verse 24 with me. It says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Who are his enemies? Other people? No. No, his enemies aren't people. He loves people. Aren't you glad for that? At one time, we were his enemies when we were against him, rejecting him, rebelling him, but he loves people. He died so that all people in the world would come to know him and know salvation through him. No, his enemies are the real enemies of this fallen world. Obviously, it is a direct pointing the finger to the enemy, right? the evil one, but it involves all that he brings to the table: sin, evil, corruption, fear, sickness, pain, misery, jealousy, greed, violence, abuse, hate, and you can name a whole lot more. Those are the enemies that we deal with, struggle with, and we are reminded tonight that they don't have the last word. Jesus does. I am so thankful for that. Every ugly thing that you could think of, those things are what the enemy, they are the enemy. And of course, as we've said, the one behind them all, the evil one. Eventually, he will put them all under his feet, Paul says. And then he finishes up there in that 26th verse, including death. The Message has a nice way of putting those verses. He won't let up until the last enemy is down. The enemy who's been trying to keep us down, our Savior, who has the last word, says he's not letting up until the enemy and the last enemy has been put down. And the very last enemy is death. Isn't that what we all fear the most in this world? Isn't that what causes more pain than anything else? Isn't that what makes us feel most alone and afraid and helpless and vulnerable? Death, the final enemy, will also, at last, be destroyed because of the resurrection. Those without faith do life on earth may appear to be not much more than a sequence. Life for them probably doesn't seem more than just some random sequences that have no meaning, no anything, no value whatsoever. And once you're done here, you're done. And the fact is, and let's not pretend otherwise, and excluding the fact that should Jesus return while we're still alive, every single one of us in the room are headed for the cemetery to hang out there, as Kenny said. There's no doubt about that, but here's the good news. And aren't you glad that there's good news? The journey doesn't end there. The graveyard isn't your final destination. Death, along with every other enemy we face, everything else that is ugly and evil, doesn't get the last word. Jesus does. Has fear been giving you issues lately? Relationships? Maybe the report that came from the doctor that you didn't want to hear. None of that gets the last word. Jesus does. Because through the power of the resurrection, he has conquered it all. Amen. You've heard me say before, we of all people should be the most happiest, the most blessed, the most thankful, the most grateful. We are the ones, and there's enough of us who claim to be Christians, even in this nation, there's enough of us that we should be able to put the, how do I want to say this, the people who supply the meds for all of the stress and fear and anxiety and all that, we could put them out of business. If we just trusted God and believed his word and recognized he gets the last word. It isn't the enemy doing this. It's Jesus doing this. Speaking in both of our ears, hopefully to our hearts, he gets the last word. We all have seen up close the destruction that cancer can do, what crime can do, what war can do, but we must remember they do not represent the final chapter of the book and the story of your life. Our promise is that when this life, as we know it here on earth, is over, a better life begins, a resurrected life. Jesus once again gets and has the last word. A day or two ago, we received a card from our son and daughter, and our daughter had written in it some pretty cool words I want to pass on with you just real shortly. She says, "Wish we were together, too." And then here it is to all of us. "Celebrate the most important day in human history, which has changed the trajectory of all our lives. Hallelujah," she says, "He is risen." I liked that. For this reason, I just would simply say, give him the last word in your life. You'll never regret it. The best decision you could make. And some of you attest to that truth, don't you? Jesus is alive. He is risen. Because of his resurrection, he gets the last word. Never, ever forget that.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado.